course is Sophie Duffo.
The makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Purine and Pret Cooking Fat, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Maple Margarine, and Niblet's Cheese Twists present The Epic Casebook. In which Inspector Carr investigates.
My notes for tonight's story reminded me of a trial which took place a few weeks ago in Johannesburg. Two men employed at Jan Smuts Airport were charged and convicted for attempting to steal a parcel of diamonds. Now, I don't propose to comment on the trial, except to say that the miscreants were very foolish in thinking that they could successfully outwit those responsible for the safety of such valuable cargo. They are among the most highly trained security men in the world. And there's a constant ebb and flow of information between Johannesburg, Amsterdam, and London. Movements of known diamond smugglers, photographs of cleverly faked precious stones, that sort of thing. You've often heard me make reference to Hatton Garden, the hub of the diamond industry. Ever since Sir Christopher Hatton, after whom the thoroughfare was named, set up a diamond exchange there, it has been the scene of dazzling beauty, intrigue, and on the rare occasion, death. Such as when Colin Bateson was found dead. He was chief cutter and polisher at Lambert & Sons Limited, dealers in precious stones. Let me tell you about it. I've called my story More Precious Than Life. It was at approximately 10:30 in the evening when I first received news of Bateson's death. Car?
Operations here, Inspector.
Yeah?
A call had just come through from the caretaker of the block of flats called Ebury Towers, Victoria Road. He said that he is phoning from the flat of one of his tenants. He's been stabbed through the heart.
Oh, never stops, does it, Ops? Oh, sounded almost poetic. What's the name of the tenant?
Bateson, sir. Colin Bateson. I understand that his sister is with him.
No question of him being dead. Any point in getting through to the senior police surgeon?
Control specifically said the man had been murdered. And there's a doctor present.
All right, Ops, get through to transport.
Very good, sir. Oh, by the way, sir, the flat number is 48.
Thank goodness you're here, Bill.
I'm Chief Inspector Carr.
Is that the police?
Yeah. Chief Inspector Carr, it is Mrs. Dixon.
Sir. Still can't believe it. Why should this happen to my brother?
He's still there, sir.
I understand there's a doctor.
I'm the doctor. I found my brother.
Before saying anything else, have you any idea how long your brother's been dead?
Less than an hour. It doesn't take medical diagnosis to tell you. I spoke to him less than an hour ago.
Oh, should we go through and then talk about it?
Yes, it's all right.
If you won't...
I take you to the caretaker.
That's right, sir. You see...
Just a moment. But first, a quick look at the... Sorry, Doctor, my phraseology is a little thoughtless. Let's go through. The old caretaker, the distraught woman, and I entered a large and pleasantly furnished living room. Or rather, it would have been pleasant had it not been for the scene of a well-dressed man lying on his back, his unseeing eyes wide open, his arms flung outward as if attempting to scan the floor carpeting, and a large red stain on his shirt front. The bread knife next to the body was still horribly wet. That's horrible. I take it nothing's been touched.
Yes, I removed the knife when the caretaker opened the door.
Yes, look, I know how terrible all this is for you, Doctor, but time is of the essence, so I'm going to ask you what brought you here tonight and how you managed to get access to the flat.
Well, I opened the door.
Please, I'm trying to get a complete picture of the events in their proper sequence.
I arrived back in London this afternoon. I'm a paediatric surgeon at the Royal Victoria Children's Hospital in Sydney.
I see.
I'm here to attend a congress that starts tomorrow morning. I telephoned Colin about an hour ago. I asked if it was too late to see him this evening. I have to be back at hospital on Saturday.
Too late? Of course not. It was marvellous getting your letter. Come on over. I'll open a bottle of bubbly in celebration. Have you spoken to Mum and Dad?
Yes. I went straight out there from the airport, hence this late hour. I've only just checked in at the hotel. Give me time to add a little artificial...
Look, you don't have to put on any false eyelashes to impress your brother. Now, seriously, make it as quick as you can. I'm dying to see you.
Well, I've been travelling all the way from Australia. I needed a bath, a change of clothes. It was nearly an hour before I got here. I rang the bell and there was no answer. I couldn't understand it. I went downstairs and asked the caretaker if he saw my brother go out.
Yeah, well, this lady thought that Mr. Bates might have been taken ill or something, so I opened the door with my master key.
I see, thank you. Well, then what happened? Oh, perhaps you'd better tell us the rest, Mr. Hall.
Yeah, well, sir, I opened the front door and sees that the door from the hallway into this room was open and the lights were on. And we sees him lying there like that.
And it was you who dialed emergency?
Well, as soon as I saw that my brother was dead, been stabbed to death with that knife, I shouted to Mr. Wall to dial 999 and tell them what had happened.
Thank you. Mrs. Dixon, I have a police car outside. Please, let us transport you back to your hotel.
My parents. What am I going to say to them?
Leave that to us. I'll see that they're notified straight away. Having escorted the dead man's sister to the car and ensured that she was safely on her way to her hotel, I telephoned the Finsbury Park Police Station, instructing them to send round to 36 Maple Street one of their best men to break the news to Mr. and Mrs. Bateson. For that was the address given me by the bereaved sister. I asked the caretaker to stay in attendance while I searched the flat for possible clues. According to these papers, Mr. Bateson worked for Lambert and Sons in Hatton Garden.
Oh, that's right, sir. Had a good job he did. He used to tell me about all the diamonds he sought.
Well, I've taken a good look round. There doesn't seem to be any sign of robbery. Nothing seems to have been disturbed, except... Well, look at that drinks cupboard, Mr. Hall.
Hmm?
He's taken out a bottle of wine, placed it on the shelf with one glass next to it. Cupboard door still open. In view of what his sister has told us, it's highly probable that the unfortunate man was preparing the drinks in anticipation of his sister's arrival when his attacker arrived. Question is, was the killer admitted by Mr. Bateson, or did he have other means of entry?
What do you mean, other means of entry? The only other means of entry is the master key, and I've got that.
Now, 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 Mr. Hall, let's not leap to conclusions. There are more ways of entering a flat than through the front door. You recognize the bread knife?
Yes, yes, yes. But honest, Mr. Bateson, it came out of his kitchen.
Let's have a look at the kitchen, shall we?
Yeah, you won't find anything in there, sir, except...
Well, come on, let's see. Well, quite obviously no one could have got through that window. Now look, Mr. Hall, your highly polished floor. Faint marks of two pairs of feet. I take it the floor was cleaned this morning?
Well, of course he was, sir. Those marks weren't there this morning.
Well, that suggests, does it not, that Mr. Bateson's visitor walked with his victim into the kitchen, picked up the bread knife, and then stabbed Bateson when they returned to this room. Pity that his sister removed the bread knife from the body. May have smudged what fingerprints there are on the handle.
Yeah, she was only trying to help, you know, to stop the blood.
Yes, yes, of course. Well, thank you, Mr. Hall. Sorry to have kept you up so late. No need for you to wait. I have to, because I've sent for the fingerprint men, photographers. Body has to be removed to the mortuary. By the time our men had taken their photographs and impressions of every possible fingerprint they could, it was well after midnight. There was little more for me to do, except to telephone the yard with the obvious instructions, such as ascertaining whether the victim was known at Criminal Records Office, X branch to determine whether any suspicious characters were seen near the building, the usual procedure to be adopted at the commencement of every murder investigation. A few hours' sleep and I was back at my desk, much earlier than usual. What I hadn't anticipated was a two-pronged inquiry. Bateson's murder and the robbery of a collection of precious stones. Car?
Operations here, Inspector.
Yes, Ops, what you found?
The CRO hasn't come through yet, sir, but Lambert and Sons Limited, the firm where Bateson was employed, telephoned M Division to say that they have been robbed.
What?
The managing director, sir, Mr. Oliver Lambert, just reported the loss of a collection of precious stones worth over £200,000.
Well, I'll be... What's the address, Ops?
Yeah, 28 Hatton Garden, sir.
Well, I had intended to question Bateson's employers as to the dead man's character. Seems now that I shall have to do considerably more interrogating.
Oh, this is shocking. Terrible. In the 80 years we've been in Hatton Garden, we've never lost a single stone. What am I going to tell the Maharani of Kaipur? She left them here for polishing, and where the dickens is Bateson? I can't believe that after all
Bateson
these years...
Bateson is dead, Mr. Lambert. He was stabbed to death in his flat last night.
I can't believe it.
I'm afraid it's true. One thing I can tell you, Mr. Lambert, is that the precious stones you say are missing are not at the dead man's flat. I've been through the place with a tooth comb. Now, sir, tell me about Bateson. What was his job here? How long was he in your employ?
Well, he was my polisher. The Maharani brought her collection of jewels to be polished. You've probably read that she and the Maharaja were attending the ceremony at Westminster Abbey.
I see, thank you. What else has been taken?
Nothing. I can't understand it. I really can't.
Well, it's now 9:20. What time does your staff start work?
9:00.
I see, thank you. Well, how many people knew that you had this collection of jewels?
Oh, no one. Or at least...
Yes, Mr. Lambert.
Well, let me put it this way. All the social gossip writers wrote that the Maharani would be wearing her famous collection, but... Well, such people don't like it to be known that they take their diamonds and gems to be polished. Well, somehow it detracts from the glamour of the thing. We at Hatton Garden have to be as discreet as any doctor or solicitor.
What about your staff?
Well, yes, they'd have seen the Maharani arrive. But the point is that no one could get into the sorting room except Bateson and myself. And yet I can't for the life of me see him as a thief.
Well, sir, the precious stones are missing and nothing else has been taken. Now, will you please tell me exactly what happened when you arrived this morning?
Oh, excuse me. Hello, Lambert speaking.
What have you done? Why have you killed my boy?
Although Lambert held the telephone receiver firmly to his ear, I distinctly heard a voice accusing the diamond merchant of murder, presumably of killing Bateson. The rest of the telephonic conversation became even more intriguing.
What are you talking about? It's Mr. Bateson, isn't it?
Don't pretend you don't know who's speaking. They came and told me last night. I had to go to the mortuary to identify my own son.
You must be insane, Mr. Bateson. I have only just heard about it. There's a senior police officer with me now.
Oh, there is there? Well, I want to talk to him.
By all means. Well, the man is out of his mind. Here.
Thank you. Hello?
Look, I told the sergeant when they came to fetch me last night. I'm telling you, you are a police officer.
I'm Chief Inspector Carr of the murder squad.
Well, he's your man. He stabbed my son. He would have sacked Colin weeks ago, except my boy was the finest polisher in the business.
Well, sacking's one thing, but you're accusing your son's boss of murder.
Well, my boy was stabbed to death, wasn't he? Who else would want to do it? All right, sir. He might have stepped out of turn.
Well, what do you mean, out of turn, Mr. Bateson?
Well, I merely told young Bateson...
Look, just a minute, Mr. Lambert. You were saying?
Look, now... I told him no good would come of it. He hasn't been seeing her. He hasn't...
Just a minute, Mr. Bateson. Who is she?
My daughter. She's in Switzerland. Left a week ago.
Mr. Bateson, will you be at home about 3:00 this afternoon? I understand you have a tobacconist's shop.
Yes, I'll be here. But why wait till 3:00? If you take my advice, you'll arrest that swine
I'll
now.
I'll see you at 3:00, Mr. Bateson.
The man is mad, I tell you.
What's it all about? Why should the dead man's father leap to the conclusion that you're the murderer, Mr. Lambert?
I don't want to be rude, Mr. Carr, but this afternoon the Maharani is coming in for her jewels. Frankly, that's my chief worry.
But it's not the boy's father's chief worry, or mine, come to that. Primarily, my job is to find and apprehend the killer, although I grant you that if I can trace the identity of the man who took the jewels, it may lead me to the culprit. All right, now, tell me about your daughter and Colin Bateson.
Well, they met at our staff party last Christmas. Jean was barely out of her teens. I discovered that they were... seeing each other regularly. I ordered him to leave her alone. He promised never to see her again.
But I take it he did.
Yes. A good friend of mine told me he saw them both at an hotel when my daughter was supposed to be staying with her friend's family in Devonshire. Well, I was furious. Young Bateson hadn't moved into his flat. I telephoned one Saturday afternoon.
You say you want Colin? Well, he's not here. He's gone to the football match. Who's speaking?
This is Lambert, his employer.
Ah, well, I'm his father. The only thing I can do, Mr. Lambert? He should be home by 6:00. You sounded a bit upset. Nothing wrong at work, I hope.
Yes, there's something very much wrong. You tell that son of yours to stay away from my daughter, or I'll kill him. Do you hear? I'll kill him.
Did these two youngsters continue to see each other?
No. My daughter was under the mistaken impression that she was in love with this boy. I put a stop to it.
Well, perhaps she was. In love with him, I mean.
Oh, nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Besides, she's very happy where she is now. She's at the Lycée in Geneva. If I thought of killing the young man, would I continue to have him in my employ?
I don't know. Could be that you thought it better to keep the young man under your eye. Besides, I hear that he was the best cutter and polisher in the
yes,
business.
Yes, yes, he was. But you mustn't listen to that old fool. I was just in a boiling rage. Well, so would you be were you in my shoes.
Nevertheless, I must ask you where you were between 9 and 11pm last night.
But what about the robbery?
Please answer my questions, Mr. Lambert.
I was at home. I dined about 8 o'clock, I looked at television for a bit, and then went to bed. That's
all. Please, Mr. Lambert. Now, how many servants have you? Can they corroborate your alibi?
I don't know. Well, no, I suppose not. As soon as Mrs. Darnley clears away, she goes off home. Well, I suppose that would be about 8:30.
Anybody else there?
No, we have a woman that comes in and does the rough work.
I see, thank you. May I use your phone?
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you.
Operations.
Carr, I shall be sending over a description of the jewels stolen from Lambert's. As soon as it's received, I want X Branch to circularise every dealer and everyone on J List.
Very good, sir.
You'd better notify Amsterdam and Johannesburg. They're sure to have a description of this famous collection. The theft has now become part of the murder investigation.
Right, sir.
I'll be at Lambert's for at least another hour if I'm wanted urgently.
Right, sir. Bye.
Bye, Hobbs. Now, sir, your staff will be coming in less than 5 minutes. Will you please show me where the stolen jewels were kept? We emerged from the merchant's private office and walked through the showroom, flanked on each side with a long glass counter containing various stones of different shapes and colours. Because of the subdued lighting, it was impossible to gauge either their value or attractiveness. Presumably, they were stones still in their rough state and could be appreciated only by experts.
And here we are, Chief Inspector. As you see, it's unlocked. I opened it when I came in this morning.
I see. Well, this is virtually a strong room, opened by a combination lock.
Yes, that's right.
Who has the combination?
Oh, myself. Bateson, of course.
Anybody else? What happens when you're both away?
Oh, no one else other than the security officer at the Acme Safe Company. It's all a question of insurance. If anything happened to me or...
Or Bateson.
Well, then my staff have instructions to get in touch with the safe people.
When did you see the jewels last?
Oh, last night. I told young Colin to stay behind. Colin, I'm sorry to keep you. I just want to make sure that everything's all right. How they come out?
Oh, wonderful, Mr. Lambert. It's a splendid collection. Ah. There you are, sir.
Oh, you're right. Yes, they're quite magnificent. Whoever set them in the first place certainly knew his job.
Real work of art, sir.
Yes, it is. Oh, well, let's lock up.
I'm staying behind for a bit. I'll see everything's locked and the alarm bell plugged through to the police station. There's just that one emerald I'm not quite happy with.
All right. I'll see everything's secure, won't you?
Yes, I will, sir.
I left him here with the jewels. Now they've gone and he's dead. It's all so overwhelming. Oh, that'll be the staff arriving.
The staff consisted of two men in their middle 40s and a pretty young girl who was introduced as Lambert's secretary. All corroborated Lambert's statement that when they finished work the previous evening, their employer and young Bateson remained behind. I hurried back to the yard after a thorough search for signs of breaking and entering. Listen, Ops, I want to know the movements of every single employee from the time he left Lambert's to the time he or she got to work this morning.
Right, sir.
And now that the midday papers have given the news of the murder and the robbery, there'll be a lot of speculation among the wide boys. Get hold of Louis the Lip, see if that unspeakable copper's narc hears anything.
Very good, sir.
One other thing. Check on Lambert's garage and taxi drivers. He says he was at home all last night. If he's lying, the gods may be kind and some taxi driver may recognize his picture.
Yeah, think he did it, sir.
Do you mean, do I think that Lambert persuaded his employee to steal the jewels and then kill him? No, I don't. Now, get weaving. There's a good chap.
Very good, sir.
Having replaced the telephone receiver, I began to pace up and down the office. There were so many possible lines of inquiry. But where to begin? I decided to speak to the young man's father again. Do you really believe that Mr. Lambert stabbed your son to death?
What else am I to believe? A few weeks ago, he threatens to kill my boy. Do you know, it's given my missus a heart attack. She's in the Battersea Hospital under intensive care.
I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Bateson, but for a man like Lambert to do a thing like that... It seems out of character.
Well, he threatened him, didn't he?
Yes, Mr. Bateson, he admits to doing so, but people in a rage...
True enough, I suppose. I was in a rage when I called him a murderer. What with Colin and Mrs. I don't know what to think, do I?
Tell me about your son and Miss Lambert.
It wasn't Colin's fault. He came for the football match, and I spoke to him. You ought to know better than play around with that young girl.
Look, Dad, I haven't done the girl any harm. You may not believe it, but I didn't go to that hotel with her. I went down with a team for the club. Mm. She came on her own steam, I swear it. Look, you can look at the hotel register book. She signed in the following day. Oh, right, we had a mild flirtation, but nothing more.
Flirtation? She's only a kid. If you'd heard your
look,
boss...
Dad, how can I explain to Mr. Lambert that I'm not trying to seduce his daughter or marry her?
Now then.
All right, I told her I loved her. Look, you know how a fella talks when... Well, when he's all het up and he's had a bellyful of beer inside him.
If you want to keep your job, you better stay clear of that girl, I'm telling you.
Clear of her? That's a joke. Do you know she stands outside Lambert's waiting for me to come out of work? And maybe when I move into that flat of mine, I'll be able to dodge her.
You never knew my Colin, Chief Inspector Carr. He was a good lad, he was a bit wild. And they all are these days, aren't they? I mean, but he wouldn't intentionally hurt anyone. And I'll tell you this. He didn't steal any jewels either. Now, I've given my boy and my girl, I've given them both a good education.
Yes, I met your daughter, the doctor. Well, thank you. If anything comes to mind, any little thing your son may have said, anything somebody else may have said, you've got my extension number at the yard. Carp?
Operations here, Inspector.
Yes, Ops.
X-Brass reports all members of the staff in the clear.
Well, what about Lambert?
Nothing on that score, sir.
We're getting nowhere very fast. Yet there must be a link.
X-Brass reports a number of Colin Bateson's friends say that he's been seen around lately with a Miss Janet Searle, that he was talking of getting engaged.
She been questioned?
No, sir. The sergeant who went round to her lodgings was told by the landlady that she's spending a holiday with her parents in Huddersfield.
Well, get through to Huddersfield. Tell him to check whether she's still there.
Right, sir.
And find out the next plane to Geneva. I think I'll have a word with Miss Lambert, the daughter.
You say that Colin's been stabbed?
Yes, I'm afraid so. We're questioning everyone who knew him. You may be able to help us in our inquiries.
Me? And how can I help you? When did it happen?
3 days ago.
I haven't seen Colin for weeks. My father forbade it. That's why I'm here. I started the lease here on Monday.
Oh, I see you barely unpacked. And when did you arrive?
A few days ago.
And you booked in on Tuesday morning?
Yes, that's right.
Did you see Colin on Monday night, the night he was killed?
No, of course I didn't.
Miss Lambert, before I arrived at this hotel, I telephoned the principal of the school, and he tells me that your father telephoned on Tuesday morning asking if there was a vacancy, although you weren't really due to start until next term.
I won't be questioned. I have nothing to do with Colin's silly murder, and I won't be questioned.
You find his murder silly? Do you find the thought that he had a knife stuck right through his heart amusing?
I didn't use a bread knife.
Bread knife? Who mentioned a bread knife? Why did you do it? Because of this other girl?
I didn't mean to. He wouldn't answer my telephone call. Mr. Roberts told me where his hat was. He wouldn't listen to me. He kept walking away. We went into the kitchen. He told me that he moved out of his parents' home because of me. He said I was becoming a pain in the neck. I saw the knife on the table. I picked up the knife and I stabbed him. I didn't know what to do. I telephoned Dad. He's dead, I tell you. He's dead.
Don't touch anything. Stay where you are. Heaven help us. I'll be there in a matter of minutes.
Daddy came and took me home and said I was to leave the country.
I brought the girl back to London, took her before a magistrate where she made a full confession. I then broke the news to her father. You'd have been well advised to have told me the truth in the first place.
My child's not a murderer. She didn't know what she was doing.
Well, be that as it may, you pretended to be robbed in order to sidetrack the investigation.
Oh, you don't think I'd have kept the collection? I'd have returned the jewels anonymously then, when things had quietened
up. Do you realize I could charge you with conspiracy and attempting to defeat the ends of justice?
Well, do you think I care what happens
but
to me
I
now?
But I won't. It's enough punishment for you to know that it was something you said that led me to the identity of the killer.
My daughter, she's in Switzerland, left a week ago.
But as I was questioning her in Switzerland, she said that she'd arrived just a few days ago. In fact, on the Tuesday, the morning after the murder. Of course, it wasn't premeditated, and the jury accepted her plea that she stabbed in the heat of passion. Jean Lambert was sentenced to 10 years hard labor.
Epic Casebook was produced by Michael Silver for the makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Maple Margarine, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, and Niblet's Cheese Twists, with Hugh Russ as Inspector Carr. Listen again next Thursday night at 9:30 to another exciting story from our Epic Casebook.